Australia, who's been in the news for some pretty awful anti-Semitic incidents in the past couple of days, anti-Israel marches, disagreements as to numbers, you name it, lots going on. Suddenly today, turns out that Australia is expelling Iranian diplomats. I find that absolutely fascinating. Can't work out what is really going on in Australia, and very thankful that Justin Amler, policy analyst at the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, has stayed up as late as he has to talk to us here on Chai FM. Justin, thanks for being with me, and just purely out of interest, what time is it?
It's going on to 25 past 11 in the evening over here.
Well, I really mean it from the bottom of my heart. You're a good man. Thank you for doing that. Talk to me about, wow, well, let's talk about this incident in particular, and let's generalize it and talk to the Australian government in general. What happened with the expulsion that's making the news worldwide?
So, yeah, definitely quite a bombshell announcement when it came out around lunchtime today. So basically, Australia is expelling Iran's ambassador, which is the first time they've expelled an ambassador since World War II. And this follows ASIO, which is basically our spy agency, and the Australian Federal Police confirming that Iran, through the IRGC, which is the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, which is part of the Iranian regime, mm-hmm. that they were directly behind firebomb attacks on Jewish targets in Australia. There was a kosher deli in Sydney that happened in October 2024, and also, which made a lot of worldwide news, the Adas synagogue bombing in Melbourne in December 2024. So they basically worked out, they had enough evidence to put together that they were behind at least those two incidents. So that means there could be more still being investigated, but at least those two. And in response, the government has announced that it's now going to ban, or it's now going to expel the ambassador. And it's also going to list the IRGC as a terrorist organization, which is actually something that there's been quite a push to do that for quite a few years, and it hasn't happened for certain reasons, but now it's finally going to happen. So big news, definitely, in Australia.
Very, very big news. Forgive me, my geopolitics on that side of the world isn't so good. Are there significant relationships between Australia and Iran? Do you import oil or other things that make the relationship specifically important to Australia?
Well, Australia's had an embassy in Iran since 1968. I wouldn't say, it's not necessarily a friendly relationship, but it is a cordial relationship. So, there has been dressing downs of the Iranian ambassador from time to time, usually after he tweets something anti-Semitic, which has happened quite a few times, he has, and he's basically been called into to Australia, for dressing down, a diplomatic dressing down, but he's never has been expelled. I mean, he also called, just to give an example, for instance, on the 28th of October in 2023, he either tweeted or made a statement saying, "Welcome to the quagmire, say hello to your end," referring to Israel. So he does lots of inflammatory kind of statements, and there's been calls to expel him before, but the government's always maintained, that they need to have diplomatic relationships with Iran, so that's never actually occurred, except now it reached the point where the lines have all been crossed and they really could not avoid it anymore.
So, Justin, I was thinking about that. I was thinking that there's quite a difference between, in your personal, even in your official capacity, writing anti-Semitic utterings versus financing terror on Australian soil. I mean, there's a massive jump there. What also kind of makes me question, why are the Iranians choosing Australia? Is it because the ground is particularly fertile for these kinds of ideas? Address that for me, if you would.
It's a very good point. You kind of think, well, what interest does Iran have in a kosher cafe in Sydney and a synagogue in Melbourne? But I think this has been the pattern of Iran for many years. They've been involved in terror attacks around the world. If we think about, one of the most famous ones was in Argentina, where they bombed a Jewish center, a community center, and I think about 85 people were killed. They've also been involved in, attacking U.S. Marines barracks in Beirut in 1983, where hundreds hundreds of soldiers were killed. They've always, oh, and they've also been involved in things like assassinations and kidnappings all around the world. So it's, they've never just been limited, you know, within their own kind of sphere. They've always been a worldwide kind of force. Why they would do it is a good question. Look, I think, in my own opinion, a lot of it is to sow discontent in societies, to basically cause troubles and basically to mess up or to shake the kind of social cohesiveness of many societies. You know, as we've seen, the anti-Semitism since October 23 has obviously exploded, and what Iran is doing is just pouring more kerosene on the fire, just increasing it even more. And it's created a lot of upheaval in Australia and many other countries as well, as we've seen. So it's a case of mischief, although that sounds like almost too light a word. I would say that would be a part of it, part of a big reason, just to kind of cause almost like an instability in countries around the world.
Tell me, the Australian justice system, it seems like the police haven't exactly been the most effective in enforcing the law. We've seen that on numerous occasions where actually the victims are the ones who've been blamed and they haven't done what they've needed to do, be it outside the Sydney Opera House or over the Harbour Bridge or you name it. I'm concerned about the fact that the diplomats have diplomatic immunity, and I'm wondering about those who actually went and firebombed the restaurants and the shul, etc. More than one shul, two shuls. I think it was East Melbourne as well, yeah, as St Kilda, or not, wasn't St Kilda. It was more in the Jewish area there. There been any? Or have there been arrests?
Look, there have been arrests, but what Iran has done, they've orchestrated this attack rather than doing it directly. So in other words, they've actually been, from what the ASIO, you know, the chief of the ASIO, the spy service, said, essentially they've been getting other people to create the attack. And this is where they've used terrorists, or they've used kind of criminal organizations, or they've used individuals to actually carry out the attack. So almost putting themselves at a distance, but kind of being the puppet master behind it. So in other words, giving themselves that kind of distance. So controlling it without actually doing it directly themselves. So they've been, you know, they're trying to keep their fingerprints off it, so to speak.
You know, Justin, on a personal note, I lived in Australia from 2007 to 2013. I got to tell you, there was nothing about Australia I didn't love. I loved the value system. I loved the fact that there was such agreement societally on so many issues. I loved the fact that there weren't starving poor people, that there was just this mass of well-off people who could afford cappuccinos. It just didn't pull at your soul. And never in that period did I ever witness any anti-Semitism at all. At all times, I was aware that, you know, some very prominent families were among the wealthiest in Australia, and the Jews were absolutely out of all proportion to their numbers were successful in that society. And I wonder to what extent they set themselves up as targets, although I hate, again, blaming the victim. But I'm shocked that there is such a fertile ground for these kinds of anti-Semitic behaviors in Australia.
You know, Simon, look, that's a very good point. I mean, Australia has always been seen as very laid back, very tolerant. And I think, you know, for many Australians, that is how it is. I think on October 23, a lot of things changed. Now, there's always anti-Semitism in every society. It's been there. Just October 23 almost gave permission for certain elements of society to come out. And unfortunately, that's what we've seen. And you mentioned about the police. There was definitely a very sluggish response. You know, the perpetrators, instead of the people actually, you know, chanting all the anti-Semitic slogans and the attacks, weren't the ones really being cracked down on. Instead, you know, Jews were told to, you know, stay away from things or to keep a low profile, which is not the way you actually, you know, tackle crime. You go after the people committing the crime, not the victims, to keep away from it. So it's definitely been I think for many Australians, a very eye-opening kind of period, very sad as well, when you see a society that, you know, everyone kind of gets along, and to have that just blow up over the last couple of years. And, you know, the anti-Semitism has increased. I mean, we've seen I think last year there was a figure that came out that's gone up 316%, in over
Wow.
that last year,
What a
which is
stat.
crazy numbers. But I have to say, it's not unique in Australia. Canada, I think it may have even gone up 400%, and in the UK, so it's not unique to Australia, but it's definitely for many people. It was a shock to see how like a very calm kind of tolerant society can suddenly change, and that's because there are elements. There are elements that stoke that intolerance, that stoke that anti-Semitism. And I think from what we saw today, Iran is a player in that. Working in the background, causing trouble, adding sparks, adding flames, and it's been part of it. But they're not the only one. And I should, sorry, just one thing I want to point out is the head of ASIO said that, while Iran was behind some of these anti-Semitic attacks, he didn't say it was only Iran. So they're part of it, but they're not the
Interesting.
only part. There are many other elements as well. It's just that what makes it so, I guess, dramatic is we've got, for the first time here, a foreign power interfering directly, attacking directly sovereign country on the other side of the world. Well, not the first time that's happened, but in Australia, it's the first time that foreign power has really gone into the country and tried to stoke this kind of terrorist activity. So that's what makes it so dramatic today.
It'll be very interesting to see the reaction of the regular Australian to an event such as this. Justin, thank you for staying up so late to talk to us. I really do appreciate that. I thought Australians were kind of, off the map. There was no ways we were going to get to talk to one, so I really appreciate your time.